Ababa Shaker and the Shaker to God be the glory. When I think about it, all I can say is to God be the glory. I'm so glad this morning that it's to God. To God be the glory. See, He made a way. So I say to God. But to God be the glory. See, He healed me. He filled me. He touched me. Because your children still alive, and you ought to say to God, I'm so Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Everybody gets it, but 2-3 worshipers in the house. They want to express their love to the Lord. I know we need to love our neighbor as we love ourselves, but there are some folk that do both. I love the Lord because He first loved me. And the way I express that, it's not just through talk and verbiage. It's through worship. A lot of folk can't worship because they don't love. Because loving on the Lord or worshiping the Lord is an expression of your love to the Lord. You have to have an intimacy with God. One brother said, some folk know Him as a father and they can sing He's a good, good father. But you don't really know Him as God. Because if you know Him as God, you'll fall down and you will worship. Your father, but I'm also God. So accord me some respect. Take off your shoes, because you're standing on holy ground. Hallelujah. Thank God for minister, I won't say pastor, Sister Sheila. Ministering the first sermon, if you will. Today she came out her cave ready. Praise His holy name. But you know she spoke truth. Consecration leads to revelation. When you're set aside for God, don't have any time to do anything but sometimes or except spend time with God, God will pour stuff into you. And she had no clue what I was going to speak on today or regarding today, but God had us united in what we were going to put forth today. Because the second part of the message was going to be the ugly truth. But Sister Sheila took care of that for me. Amen. Praise God. Sometimes we don't like the inconvenient truth. We like playing church. Oh, y'all don't hear me. See, Sheila can say that, But God doesn't want us just to play church. He wants us to become the church. I heard her saying, basically, it's time to stop playing. Become serious about the things of God. That doesn't mean God won't give us some joy and peace. And He won't allow us to enjoy some merriment from time to time. But there still ought to be some gravitas. Some seriousness when it comes to the things of God. Amen. So thank you, Sister Sheila, for giving us that ugly truth, if you will. And some may not like that terminology, but the whole gospel hinges on an ugly truth. The fact that Jesus had to die an ignominious death for you and me, for us to be saved. That wasn't pretty. Nothing prepossessing about being crucified. That's an ugly death. The truth is, he had to die for us to be saved. Amen. Praise his holy name. Hallelujah. So we're going to look at 1 Corinthians today. Chapter 2, I give honor to pastors, ministers, officers, and all assembled today. Y'all pray for me. You pray for me, please. Amen. As the Lord would help us to share this morning. And some would ask, why do you give honor on occasion? Because the Bible says, give honor. I'm in the Word. To whom honor is due. Amen. Sometimes there's a long period between the works and the sacrifices that the pastors put forth and the leaders put forth. There's a long space between people telling them thank you. Amen. The last work they've done. So I'm grateful today, and I just say thank you, pastors, and all who have labored. Amen. Praise God. And I give honor to them. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. We ought not take for granted the work that's put into even ministry. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So today we want to look at 1 Corinthians 2, chapter 2, verse 1 through 5, or verses 1 through 5. And our brethren, and it reads thusly, and our brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Amen. 1 Corinthians 4:19-20. Hallelujah. Woo! Good God Almighty. Hey, hallelujah. Hard for me to stay in the day. 1 Corinthians 4. Woo! Woo! Good God Almighty. Thank you, Lord. For God, help me, Holy Spirit. Woo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. The pastor talked about the power of God a couple of weeks ago, and I told him, I'm not taking from him now. I told him that the Lord was dealing with me as well. Amen. I told him right after service. But that happens on occasion, because he'll tell me on Monday sometimes that the Lord was dealing with him about a message that he was going to preach that Sunday. So God has it all in control. Amen. Amen. Praise his holy name. 1 Corinthians 4:19-20 says, but I will, Paul said, I will come to you shortly if the Lord will. Now, I know a lot of folk got so super spiritual that they don't like for us to say, if the Lord will. But it's in the word. So I'm going to say it. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. But I will come to you shortly if the Lord will, and will know not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. Oh, God, help me, Holy Spirit. Woo! For the kingdom of God, verse 20, is not in word, but in power. Amen. One more verse. 1 Corinthians 1 and 17. I know I'm doing it in inverse order, if you will. 1 Corinthians 1 and 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be none effect. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name for an opportunity to disseminate your word to brute, to share your word in the midst of your people. Holy Spirit, have your way today. Little me and all of thee. Let your word fall on good ground and produce fruit in the lives of the listeners, I pray. In the name of Jesus, amen. And amen. Hallelujah. Paul is saying that the Spirit of God and the power of God are paramount when it comes to sharing with others. Hallelujah. Of the utmost import that one possesses the Spirit, she talked about the virgins and the oil being in the lamps, and he or she possesses power, the power of God. And after we've established the fact that love is extant or in existence in a situation or circumstance, because that is the greatest thing, as Pastor Michael reminds us of, that the greatest of all these things is love. Amen. Have not love, even Corinthians tells us that, Paul tells us that, it profits us nothing. So it all starts with love. But once that's been established, and let me just asseverate, let me interpolate, let me interject this. You've been in church 20, 25, 30, 35, 40 years, and I'm still teaching you on love, there's a problem. Oh, God, help me, Holy. Oh, come on now. If you are loving by now, probably an issue. And God's going to have to show it to you. We talked about that Monday, that God just has to open your eyes so you can see. Let me get in trouble a little bit more. If you haven't forgiven by now, y'all don't like me. And you've been in church 30 years, still holding a grudge. Hear forgiveness every other Sunday. And still, you haven't released it. Well, the Bible says if you don't forgive, he will not forgive you. And I'm not going to let anybody take my soul in a negative way because I won't release a loose forgiveness to him or her. Amen. I think sometimes folk waiting for the word to change. Maybe one day they'll stop preaching forgiveness is not necessary. But that's not going to happen. At least the word will not change. The Bible says forever settled in heaven. Praise God. So once we establish the fact that we ought to love one another, John 13:35, by this shall all men know you are my disciples, the love you have one to another. Yes, we ought to love one another. Amen. But once that's established, I've got another question for you. I have a question for you. Two, maybe. Where is the Spirit? And where is the power? Amen. Because subsequent to loving, there ought to be some Spirit. There ought to be some power. Don't try to answer that in a literal way, but it's also rhetorical. Amen. You ought to ask that question when you're sizing up a situation. And it seems to be a worship situation, church situation, if you will. After the love has been established, you ought to ask, where's the Spirit? Oh, y'all don't like me today. God, help me, Holy Ghost. And where's the power? Thank you for loving me, but I also need a Spirit of the living God to fall fresh on me. Amen. And where is the power? What is the Spirit? Well, the Spirit is that part of you that's on the inside. And if you're a child of God, that's connected to God. Amen. So, is there a connection to God? Do I sense a connection to God? Do I sense God moving and touching and permeating the situation? Where is the Spirit? Jesus said, these words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So the Spirit, he says it's the Spirit that gives life. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. So I want to know where the Spirit is, or where is the Spirit. If you're saved, there ought to be some Spirit. If you know God, his Spirit ought to be in you and permeating you and emanating from you. Where is the Spirit? Oh, Lord, help me, Holy Ghost. Because the Bible says the fruit of the Spirit. Oh, y'all don't hear me. Folk talk about the Spirit. Well, let's do a litmus test, if you will. The fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. That's why you shouldn't have to do too much teaching, because it ought to be in your spirit. Oh, y'all don't hear me. Whew. Ought to be second nature. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, temperance, meekness, faith, long-suffering, goodness, and gentleness. Against such there is no law. These things ought to be coming forth from you if the Spirit resides in you or within you. If it's in the church, there will be some joy in the church. Ought to be some peace in the church. Where is where's the Spirit? Hallelujah. praise his holy name. And then where is the power? Pastor alluded to it. Thank you, Pastor, for making it a little easier for me today. But where is the power? Amen. Acts 1 and 8, he says, after that the Holy Ghost, Jesus said, after that the Holy Ghost or Spirit comes upon you, you shall receive power to be witnesses. Good God Almighty. Oh God, I wonder, have you received any power? Because after you tell me you're saved and you start walking in the Spirit and I do see the love, I need to know that you got power. Have you received the Holy Ghost in Acts 19 since you believed? They were followers of Christ. They were people of the way. But they failed to know that they were good at exposition. They were good at sharing the word. But it says once they found that they didn't have any power, they said, we're going to show you a more excellent way. And they laid hands on them. And they received the power of the Holy Ghost. Oh, y'all not going to like me. Some folks still cussing. Y'all don't hear me. Because you don't have no power. Some folks still lying because you haven't received the power. Because you are going to tell me that the power of the Holy Ghost can't hold your tongue. You need the power. You know, I remember before I received the power of the Holy Spirit on my life, I'd be in the back of the church and be so shy. I love God, or at least I was saved, and I meant it, but I was worried about what everybody thought. They looking at me. I ain't going to testify too much because they're going to say, but you know, after I went down on my knees at home and asked the Holy Ghost to fill me, when I got back to church, I didn't care what anybody said. Hallelujah. Praise his name. Hallelujah. It was the power of the Holy Ghost. Talk if you want to, because you can't do me like he has done me. God, help me. And I learned folk gonna talk about you anyway. If you're too quiet, you're too quiet. If you're too loud, you're too loud. Because they really want you to be like them. But the thing is, when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, you just don't care. You're gonna give him praise. One day, can I get a witness and say, I'll just bless him because I've been filled with the Holy Ghost and the power of God, and it causes me to not care what folk think. Yeah. Hallelujah. Good God Almighty. Amen. Hallelujah. Good God Almighty. It's the power. Woo! It's the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Making you a witness. Causing you to be a witness. To say that person must be saved. Because he or she isn't afraid to own his name. Y'all not gonna like me. But they can go around all kinds of stuffy folk that wear fur coats and make you feel like you don't belong. But when the Holy Ghost comes, You will show it all around their fur coat. Woo! Hallelujah. I know that's your favorite teacher. And she's refined and she's sophisticated and she taught you the English language. But she's sitting on your row. That was the first mistake. Because when the power of God comes, you just say, excuse me. But English didn't keep me all night long. Excuse me, but the school didn't keep me all night long. It was the grace. Woo. Praise his name. Hallelujah. Folk browbeat you and subtly coerce you into capitulating or yielding to how they feel. And that's good for them. But the Holy Ghost will fall on you and give you power to say God is good and he's greatly to be praised no matter what your environment. Good God Almighty. Lord, help me, Holy Ghost. Lord, help me, Holy Spirit. So where is the Spirit and where is the power? That's what we ought to be asking. Lord, help me, Holy Ghost. Lord, I just had to preach it anyway. Because if not, if they aren't present, pervasive, if you will, just have a social club.
Go ahead,
and when you come to church, you're just fulfilling your civic responsibility. Oh, y'all don't like me. Good God Almighty. Praise his holy name. Hallelujah. But I need the Holy Spirit. I need the power of God on my life. So Paul here, writing to the church at Corinth. Hallelujah. Oh, AD 55. Praise God. Hallelujah. Paul had spent some time in Corinth, which is modern day Greece, if you will. Just throw that out there so folk won't think I'm totally just flying off the handle, if you will. Good God Almighty. Lord, I bless you. And Paul, had spent about 18 months in Corinth, and he had established the church there. And what they say of Corinth is that the church was intellectually alert, materially prosperous, but morally corrupt. It sounds like the cities in America most today. Intellectually alert, materially prosperous, but morally corrupt. But folks tried to start something after Paul left. He had been gone about 3 years, and he gets a message. He's in Ephesus now, and he gets a message, which is also Greece, about 300 miles from Corinth. And he gets a message that there, and Sister Sheila likes to use this word, these words, schisms and isms in the body. He gets a message, the Bible says, from the house of Chloe. Most theologians believe that Chloe and her household were from Corinth. And they come and they bring a message to Paul. And let me just interject quickly here that God has always used women to further the cause of the gospel.
Amen.
I don't think you got to fight for it. Just do what he tells you to do. Let them talk. Let them say what they want. But when God says go forth, just do what he. Y'all don't like me today. God, I feel the Holy Ghost. That doesn't mean that you've got to push yourself forward, but as God uses you, then you go. Amen. God, hallelujah. So they come from the house of Chloe and they tell Paul some stuff going on in Corinth. Folk are now starting to form cliques and clans. Some saying I'm of Paul, and some saying I'm of Cephas or Peter, and some saying I'm of Apollos. But Paul, kind of like me in a way, he got a little sarcastic with him, and he asked this question. He said, did Paul die for you? Great God Almighty. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't make it about me, because I didn't die for you. Did Peter die for you? Did Apollos die for you? They started to form cliques around philosophical differences. And folk tend to often want to feel a little better than other folk. That's just human nature. That's a proclivity we have. But we have to watch that. Amen. Somebody said it today, that no black, no white, not all into the ethnic thing is Jesus. No male or female bond, free. It, from a spiritual vantage point, if you're a brother or sister in Christ, you ought to be one. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, y'all don't have to like. I got to preach this thing. I thank God for the NAACP and the stuff they've done in the past. But the main thing is not the NAACP, it's JC. Thank you. Amen. And make an idol out of that foolishness. Oh, y'all don't have to like me today. But when you get saved, I said on Monday, on one Monday, say the only difference is that the barn's painted a little different color, that's all. But that's your brother and your, if he or she is saved, your brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. Oh, Lord, help me somebody. Hallelujah. Praise his name. We ought to be telling that to our kids. Y'all don't hear me. That JC, Jesus Christ, matters more than anything else. He matters. Amen. And not get sidetracked and waylaid by foolishness. Or y'all can blame me. I said it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise his holy name. Hallelujah. And so he said, wait a minute, none of those folks died for you. Folk died for you. Christ died for you. And y'all trying to puff yourselves up or push yourselves forward, you're becoming puffed up because you want to feel better than this clique, in this clan. Yeah, they say, but you know, they haven't matriculated the way we have. They haven't gone to school. So they just, you know, they say, we tolerate that stuff, but we know a little bit better. Need to feel a little better. Good God Almighty. Oh God, somebody helping me today. Say, if you know better, you do better. That came from out there. Praise his holy name. Good God. Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. But clicks and clans, you know, we tolerate those folk, but we just like to think we are just a little bit higher than they. Praise his holy name. Good God Almighty. So all of these philosophical differences came, and they some thought that they just knew the word. You know, oh Lord, help me. Give me a few minutes, I'll finish this thing. Amen, amen, amen. And that's the problem, I had with the word folk. Oh, y'all don't hear me. No, all of a sudden the word churches become, look, folk were saved before y'all started those churches. Oh, y'all don't hear me. You mean to tell me none of the folk before y'all started those churches knew anything? But we got a new revelation. You got to speak the word. You got to, nothing wrong with that. But I've looked at the end of those churches. Y'all don't help me. Good God Almighty. And I ain't impressed. Good God Almighty. And my problem was there was a degree of arrogancy. Amen. And the other stuff might have been right, but the Bible said pride go before destruction. And a haughty spirit before a fall. And it seemed to me, not all, but some felt as if they were better than those holy rollers because they were word folk. Amen. Praise his holy name. Call me what you want. I'll roll if I want to. God help me, somebody. The difference is, y'all don't hear me. After I roll, I'm going to get up and go to work. I'm going to contribute to society in a positive way. It just needs to be a balance. Hallelujah. So don't throw the baby out with the bath water and start thinking you better than other folk. Because the reason some of us still here is because when we got on our beds and we went somewhere else, mama rolled on your bed with prayer. God, help me, Holy Ghost. Good God Almighty. They say you don't take a fence down before you first understand why it's up in the first place. Good God Almighty. Jesus. Hallelujah. You learn quickly that that fence was there for a reason. Hallelujah. So Paul understands that there are cliques and clans, and then into he says, and our brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom. I wasn't relying on my speech or my own wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. And that's just testifying that Jesus was in the scriptures, that Christ was in the scriptures. And it says that he was the fulfillment of the scriptures. Theologians say that Paul, in his 18 months there at Corinth, stayed right beside the synagogue. House was right next to a synagogue. And he went in there and he was sharing with them powerfully how Jesus Christ was the fulfillment of the Old Testament scripture. And he says, for I determined not to know anything. Oh, y'all help me. That's why we need to stop name dropping. They don't like me. That's why a lot of preachers, I said we need to stop name dropping. Amen. Praise his holy name. Yeah, yeah, well, Doc, I knew this one or that. Where's the Spirit? My God, help me, Holy Ghost. Where is the power? Talk, 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 but where is the Spirit? Where is the power? You talk a good game, but how you living? Is there any life coming forth from you? Good God Almighty. Hallelujah. How anything dead said it ought to go on and be buried. Put it out of its misery. Y'all don't hear me. Lead it, stay alone. Lord, help me, Holy Ghost. Bible says if the salt lost its savor, what is it good for? That's right, good for nothing. I'm going to leave all of that. That's a different sermon. Amen. Hallelujah. Pray. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ. I'm not relying on my credentials. And he sat at the feet of Gamaliel, one of the greatest scholars of all time, biblical scholars. And Paul said, I'm not even going to talk about that. Hallelujah, because that's not that important. What's important is that I know Jesus. And him crucified. I know he died for me and you. And that's all I talked about when I was there, that Christ, the Son of the living God, Paul says to the Corinthians. I didn't talk about how smart I was or how intelligent I was or what my pedigree was. I talked about Jesus and him crucified. Then you got to understand the city of Corinth, again, it was morally corrupt. Prosperous, but corrupt. And folk didn't need to hear about how many houses and cars they could get. They needed the power of God. And that only came through Jesus Christ and receiving him and knowing that he died for them. All kinds of ritualistic stuff was going on. Paul said, I'm not coming there with some kind of fancy word. I'm going to preach Jesus because he sets the captive free. Wonder do you know that Jesus Christ, King of kings and Lord of lords, he sets the captive free. Have you been set free by the power and the anointing of an awesome God? That's the message we need to preach. Jesus, he saves the drug addict. He saves the wayward son. He'll save President Biden. He'll save Kamala Harris if they aren't saved. Look, he'll save Donald Trump. My God, help me, Holy. And I'm saved before he even go to jail. He can get saved if he goes by the power of God. Y'all don't like me today. Woo! Hallelujah. Lord, help me, Holy Ghost. How much money you have and what kind of businesses you've established. The question is, are you saved? Amen. Amen. So Paul preached Jesus to the Corinthians. He said, dispense with this foolishness and cliques and clans and being divided. Just tell folk about Jesus. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, and it all centers around Jesus. Amen. And verse 3 he said, I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. Now Paul wasn't really afraid of the folk, but he had a reverential fear of God. And I just wish God would bring back the fear of God. See, we've been sold a false bill of goods again. We think, oh, he's just a good father. And he is. But he's also God. My good God Almighty. And anytime you want to share anything with God to him, you ought to be humble and say, God, make sure, I want to make sure that I'm right because I'm going to give an account for every word I've shared. Oh, hallelujah. Kind of reminds me of the father go out and he'll play baseball or catch with you, or throw football or throw the baseball, and you play a little catch with him and go fishing with him. And you and daddy just having a good time together. Nothing wrong. That's a good father. Yeah. Yeah. But when you come back in that house, you ain't going to treat him like he you or on your same level. No, he's daddy. And he needs to be respected as father. Wonder, do you respect him as God, not just Father, but he's God, a holy God. The Bible said, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. You ought to respect God. On the one hand, yeah, I love him because he first loved me. Yeah, he's a good father, but I'm also walking in reverence. And I'm also walking in awe because he's still God. Yeah. Woo! Still the God that separates day from night. Keeps the earth rotating on his axis. He's still God. He's still God. That doesn't let an asteroid collide with the earth. Until he sees fit. Oh, that doesn't let the earth become overtaken by water. He holds back the seas so we aren't flooded. He's God, and he's God all by himself. God that kept your son alive. The God that kept your daughter alive. The God that woke you through it when he didn't keep him alive. He's God and he's God all by himself. The God that let this church go from a small beginning to where it is now. The God that lets you go from roaming and being nomadic to having your own sanctuary. He's God and he's God all by himself. The God that cured cancer. The God that regulates your heart. He's God. Though we love him as Father, we have to respect him. Reverence him as God. Amen. The God that brought you from nothing to something. Oh, that took you from one job to the next and kept you in the interim. Ain't he a good God? When you felt like giving up, he still stood right by your side. He said, don't forget that I'm God. Hallelujah. Amen. And we ought to tell folk he's God. Hallelujah. He'll save you, but you ought to respect him as God. Because if he withdraws his strength from you, where would you go? I'm so glad that God is still God. Thank you, Lord. Keeping you in your seat right now. Keeping your heart beating. Right now, keeping the blood running through your veins. Right now, he's God. Let me finish this. Woo! God, Jehovah Jireh, my provider. God, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals me. God, Jehovah Tiskanu, the God that sanctifies. Ain't he God? Ain't he God? I'm so glad. My God, help me. I want to finish. Woo! Hallelujah. The God that calls back colon cancer. And said, I am. Tell the doctor this. I know you're going to do all the tests and the x-rays. But I am God. And when they ask you what happened, say, I am. That I am. Lord, help me, Holy Ghost. Great God Almighty. I am that I am sent me to tell you he's a God that can heal colon cancer. I am that I am sent me to tell you that he's a God that can heal prostate cancer. I am that I am sent me to tell you that he's a God that can cure all kinds of cancer. Because he's able to do anything but fail. Anybody know him as God this morning? Oh God, help me, Holy God. I'm about to finish. When their children act crazy. See, I got to make it real. When the children don't even want to support you, won't he be God? Won't he comfort you? Lord, help me, Holy Ghost. One thing for what you birthed to turn around and act crazy. But I'm so glad that God knew they would act crazy. And he said, I'll comfort you. Even in their craziness. Won't he do it? My God, help me, Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because some of y'all would have gone to jail. Would have been in jail now if God hadn't held you back and comforted you. Hallelujah. But it was the power of God. Verse 4, he said, my speech was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Paul said, look, I know you're smart, and thank God for all you've learned as it relates to Scripture. Thank God for all the gifts you think you have. But again, I'm going to ask you the question that need be asked. Where is the Spirit? And where he is, the power. He said, when I come, I'm not going to listen or facilitate intellectual diatribes or arguments. What I want to see is the Spirit of a living God, and I want to see some power. Because y'all remember when I was there, they took handkerchiefs. Wait a minute. They took handkerchiefs. Good God Almighty. And they just fastened them to my body. And I took those same handkerchiefs and gave them out to folk. And folk were healed. Woo! That's the kind of power that was pervasive while I was there. So show me the power that you possess. Because see, y'all talk a good game, but I demonstrated the spirit and the power. The Holy Ghost came on me and you saw folk healed. And you saw folk delivered because I wasn't just talking, but I relied on the spirit of a living God. Holy Ghost power, Holy Ghost power, fall fresh on me. Hallelujah. So today you just ought to be seeking God. For the Spirit, Holy Spirit, take control of my life. Let something on the inside show up on the outside. But not only that, you ought to ask the Holy Ghost to fall fresh on you so you can get brand new power, power to walk right, power to talk right, power to live right, power to praise right, power! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Get tired of the talking. Where is the spirit and where is the power? I don't need another soliloquy. I don't need another speech. I need the power. Yeah. Yeah. Of the Holy Spirit. Because that's what's going to change. That's what's going to change our lives. Say yeah. Yeah. Won't the Holy Ghost change a drunk and make him stop drinking? Wait a minute. See, I took pause with that. Because some folk don't think that. Because they still sipping. Y'all don't hear me. But I want to tell you that God can take the taste of alcohol. Or for alcohol out your mouth. It's the power of the Holy Ghost. And I wonder sometimes, I'm finished, why so many ain't saved or won't come to Jesus. Oh, Lord, let me fix this. Because sometimes, let me include myself, they looking at us and they don't see anything that they want. But when the Holy Ghost comes on your life, they'll start to see that there's something different on you that lets you praise when all heck is broken loose, that lets you magnify God in the worst possible circumstance. And they'll say, I want some of what he or she has. It's the power of the Holy Ghost. That ought to be the second question you ask. Or second and third. Where is the Spirit? And where is the power? Because that's what we need. As the pastor said a couple of weeks ago. More than anything else. Don't get caught up in men. And what they know. And what they think they know. No, I need Jesus. And I need his Spirit. And I need his power. Because that's what's going to get me, carry me through these last and evil days. The power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hallelujah. I ain't singing dead songs. I'm singing a live song with the power of the Holy God. He said, if you sing, sing in the Spirit. If you pray, pray in the Spirit. Whatever you do, do it in the Spirit under the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise His holy name. Plug in to the power source. Amen. That phone, hallelujah, you let it get almost down, and then you know the only way you're going to get it charged or recharged is to plug in. Some of us need to plug in to the power source so we can get 100% one more time. And you know, it wasn't just that the disciples or the apostles were filled on one occasion. The Bible tells me that they were refilled with the power of the Holy Ghost. Wonder, do you need the power? If so, give Him praise where you're sitting. Hallelujah. Good God of mine. Hallelujah. Boba shekorandereshe. Hira da 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 da. You know, you can blend the two. You can still be an upstanding citizen. I'm thinking about the most renowned, or the person, lady who, gospel artist who sold the most records, if you will, C.C. Wine. But she has a song that says, I couldn't do any of it without the power of the Holy Ghost. C.C. said some engagements she wouldn't take because they wouldn't let her talk about. Oh, Lord, the power of the Holy Ghost. She said, I wasn't so starstruck that just because a star asked me to accompany him or her, that I would do it. She said, if I am starstruck, I'm struck by Jesus. He's the star that I'm struck by. Y'all don't hear me. Every head bowed. God, I thank you. I'm finished. Every head bowed. Amen. The pastor started it when he talked about how we needed the power. Well, really, I should say the Holy Spirit. The Holy Ghost, He started it. Sister, Pastor Michael talked about iron sharpening iron. Amen, praise God. And even Sister Sheila today told us about the urgency of the hour and how we needed those lamps filled. Oh, God, I thank you. Now, she said it was for this church. Amen. Praise God. And before I pray for others today, I just want to know if you want to be refilled. Pastor laid hands, those of you who received then, fine. But if some of you not filled or you want to be refilled, you want to be recharged. Because let's face it. Living this thing without the power of the Holy Spirit and without the Spirit is dry, is vapid. There's really no joy to it. But God will restore to you or under you the joy of His salvation. He'll do it. All you have to do is ask. So you say to yourself today, as I give this invitation, I want to be refilled. I want a fresh touch from God. Where you are, just lift up your hand and I'll pray for you in the name of Jesus. If you don't mind, y'all can come on up now in Jesus' name. If you'd rather stay where you are, that's fine. If you feel led to, come on up. God, I feel the Holy Ghost. Sure, God, I feel the Holy Spirit in this place. I feel the Holy Ghost in here.